grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, hey now, hey now, Aiko, Aiko, Ande, Giacomo, Fino, Anane.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Oh boy, oh boy. We have one of my favorite people here.
Oh girl, oh girl.
Oh girl, oh girl is right, honey.
She's a girl. She has a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a lot. She's got the friendship of us.
She's got the friendship of us and the girl power.
Can I tell you something about this guest?
Please.
She blows me away.
She?
Every time I see her.
Knocks me on my feet.
She knocks me
on my feet.
Backwards.
No, but she knocks me on my feet. Like I'm lying down and I see her, I stand right up.
Would you describe her as part of our family?
She is my family.
Family.
She is part of my family. Yeah. This is the one. Let me tell you, we are going to get into this.
We've been
she
gagging.
Has changed my life.
Oh, yeah. You've been touched.
I've been touched by this angel.
Touched by an angel.
Here we go.
Let's and
go
Roma Downey had nothing to do with this.
No. Get Roma Downey. I think Roma Downey is married to the producer. Mark Burnett, the producer
of The
Apprentice.
Which is a CBS connection because guess what?
This is a CBS queen.
This is a CBS queen. You've seen her on Elementary.
You've seen her.
And The Good Fight.
Okay. And if that's not enough for you, she is an editor writer at Reductress, and she's also the co-host of Mouth Time, the critically acclaimed, it's a gag-worthy podcast. Matt and I have both been on it. It's so fun. We love it. I listen to it every week. It's a gag.
Listen to every episode, or else.
Or else.
She's also in the sketch group Pop Roulette.
With us.
And the fantastic group Friends Who Folk. It's a duo, really.
Mm-hmm. It's a duo.
And her name is
Rachella Wartensky. No, it's Rachel Winitsky.
Thank you so
Rochella
much.
Rachella Courant.
It's me, Rachella Courant.
No, that's disgusting.
It's so good to be here with my family.
We were saying she's part of the family.
Would you say that we are part of the same family?
I would say that the three of us are one family.
Yes, absolutely.
We met. We were not family. We were not born family.
No.
But we became family.
Rachel, when did you feel most close to me?
Oh God.
This is a stupid question.
Is it? I'm actually really thinking. I'm like, when did I feel most close to you?
I want to interject and I want to answer a question that I will pose myself, which is the opposite of what Matt just asked. And the question is,
when have I felt furthest from you?
Yes. When have Rachel and I felt furthest from each other? But this was the beginning. I was roommates with David Sidorov.
Oh yeah,
her now husband.
My husband.
And esposo.
Esposo. Mm-hmm. And Rachel was spending a lot of nights in Stuytown with us. And God bless Rachel because our house was a fucking dumpster. It was me, David Sidorov, and former guest Billy Domino. And it was a fucking nightmare.
Filthy people.
Filthy people. And like roaches. Oh my God, I can't even get into
it. Yeah, that Stuytown apartment was
bad.
It was bad.
I think
they knocked it down.
They knocked it down because of
They kept the rest of the building, but they knocked down your unit.
Yeah, it's now just
they burnt it out.
They burnt it out, and now it's just a portal into a hole in the fabric of space-time. Mm-hmm. But Rachel, one day, I mean, pretty regularly would clean up for us and clean up after us.
Well, to be fair, I was living there for free for like a month.
That's true. But like we did not know each other and I felt bad. I was like, oh no, David's girlfriend is cleaning.
I was like, I'll clean the pee off the seats in exchange for living here.
Sure. But you had your own dorm. You had your own place.
I had graduated.
Right. Oh.
And I had moved out of my East Village palace.
That's right.
And needed to find my own apartment. Mm. But my roommates weren't able to move into a new place until October.
That's what it was.
So I was homeless for 2 months.
You needed to find something for the interim.
Mm-hmm. It was the saddest I've ever been in my whole life.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. To get perfectly real on this podcast.
Absolutely. Come on, let's get real, honey.
Really, that's a requirement.
No, like graduating from school and then like suddenly not having a place to live and not having a job and being like a newly minted real person was that was like the saddest I felt in my whole life.
Yeah.
It was so depressing.
I would agree. I felt that way.
I luckily had a show I was doing that summer so I could kind of stretch out the feeling bad. I was in that reality show,
yes.
Which is the NYU like welcome to NYU show that some of the older kids put on.
That's
for
the good.
So I was doing that over the summer, so it didn't feel like I just got dropped on my ass, and I was still staying in the dorms.
Yeah.
I got to end on a literal high note.
Yeah.
Because they were singing in the show.
Wait, I'm so sorry. Do you guys hear that?
I hear something.
I'm sorry. Hold on. We have to stop everything, okay. And I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry. Hold on.
Everyone at
home. There's something?
I think it's under my glass.
Okay, just pick it up.
Now I'm going to...
Pick it up really slowly, though, Max. I'm a little like...
But can you guys not freak out? Because we don't know what's under there.
Okay. I can't promise that, but yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to pick it up.
I'll try. Just be really careful. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Guys, welcome to the stupidest but my favorite bit.
We did it in game show the other night. Did you hear
I
about
heard.
This?
I can't believe I wasn't there. This is my favorite bit
ever. It's called Gru. And Gru is always hiding in something.
Well, it's based correct me if I'm wrong, but it's based on Gru from Minions, right?
No, it's not.
Absolutely
it's
not.
It's Gru from Minions. Gru.
No.
Matt, Bowen and I have been wrong. Calling each other Gru, Groo, for at least 75 years.
Yes.
What I'm saying is, like, even though you guys have been calling each other that, like, without realizing it,
no.
You were calling each other Gru from Minions.
But here's the thing.
Name Gru, first of all, in that movie doesn't make any fucking sense.
Why?
Everyone
That's
else has some
name.
Clever, like, supervillain name, like Doctor of Mischievous, like, whatever. I don't follow that franchise. But why is his name Gru? Like, it makes no sense.
Because he's an evil supervillain.
It's pronounced differently. No, everyone, stop. Gru
this
from
is really
Despicable
upsetting.
Me
G-R-U.
Is spelled G-R-U. And Gru, which is R Gru. Is spelled Groo. And if you're saying it like Gru and not saying Gru, you're not doing it right. It's Gru.
And so the bit.
Rule number 117 of culture. It's Gru. Gru.
And it's always that same pitch. What is that?
Can we get
a pitch app? I'm going to download one.
Download a
okay.
pitch app. Okay. And let me tell you where the beginning of Gru comes from.
Okay, please educate me.
It's from
Minions.
When in Mad TV when Deborah Wilson is playing Whitney Houston.
Yes, yes.
And she's like trying
yes.
to find her out. And she goes, ah, she just sings that note a bunch of times. And I thought it was truly the funniest thing that she'd just be talking like, where? I can't hear myself. Where am I?
No, she wouldn't say, she wouldn't add the
no,
consonant.
She wouldn't. But she'd I, go, because yeah. Bowen became Gru to me.
Of course.
And so then we start calling each other Gru, and we begin to sing.
You became Gru?
Yes, when you begin to sing.
Yes.
And so then when you put a musical nature on what you're saying, it heightens the emotion.
Yes. Yeah. Music is heightened speaking.
Oh my God. These apps cost money. Damn it, I just spent $1 on this and it has 1 star. Fuck. Okay, I just canceled it.
Wait, imagine having perfect pitch. We wouldn't even have to do this.
I know, okay. We'd be like C sharp.
You know what? Okay, this is A.
How do you know that's A?
Because I might have, I'm not going to say I have perfect pitch.
Oh my God.
But I was around our metronome, our digital metronome as a child so much.
A metronome keeps time, Bowen.
No, but there's a digital one where you, for violins, for string instruments.
Oh, like a pitch.
A pitch where it's just the default. Pitch is A. So someone hit the Gru pitch.
Like a tuner.
I'm gonna say it's C flat.
But the best
this is embarrassing.
The best thing is when
yeah.
you change it.
Okay.
And you do this.
Mm-hmm. For a while Gru was really high. And then it was too high.
Sometimes you have to take it down.
Because I remember there was a day where it was really high and we were doing it and then we were all like, it's gotten too high.
But remarkably, we keep it on the same pitch.
It typically is.
Wait, oh my God. I'm sorry.
It's muscle memory.
Something's on my phone. My phone's buzzing.
I think you should just pick it up and see who it is. And
yeah,
this is what I'm always telling
if it's
him.
If it's like an important thing, like you should know.
Could be Hollywood or it could be.
Okay.
Answer it.
But the thing is it buzzed, but my screen didn't light up and it's not on Do Not Disturb. So
that's really
okay.
Weird.
I'm just going to press home.
Just open it.
Okay. All right.
See, that was a different pitch
yeah.
now.
Honestly,
that was a little higher.
No, it was the same.
No, first it was Gru and then it was Gru. It grew.
It went up half a step.
It changed.
It grew the pitch.
I think it's because our emotions have been changing.
Oh, wow.
I think it's like a mood ring. Yeah.
Guys, if you're not completely alienated by this stupid conversation so far.
I'm angry.
Why?
I wish I had been able to take music theory in high school. Aww. They had AP music theory that was able to be taken, mm-hmm. but my school just didn't offer it. That's, and I would love to sit here and be able to identify the notes. And you know what? I think that it's a true thing. Mm-hmm. That I could have really musically persevered, but at a young age I was not given that opportunity.
This is the interesting thing about Matt is Matt did not grow up with a pedagogical education,
theatrical
of music,
education,
but you just had the natural talent.
You had the gift.
You had the gift, but you don't have the theory, the mechanics to pin that down.
It's like whenever I work with someone and they say, can you read music? And I have to shamefully say no.
You don't read music at all?
No.
Wow.
You know, I
do you?
Yeah. Well, I grew up playing, but piano. Here's the thing. I grew up playing
the piano.
I played the cello.
Oh, that's right.
Bitch.
I saw it in your childhood bedroom.
In my childhood bedroom, I played the cello. But the thing is, like, I think about this a lot. Sometimes I feel like the like actors and performers who picked it up later are more interesting because they were living like other lives. Mm. Whereas like if you grew up doing musical theater and stuff, like sometimes I get overwhelmed with culture, honestly, because I'm like, my background is literally listening to Wicked for like 40 hours a day and like not knowing what popular music was.
There you go. Same. Like I just learned who Robbie Williams was a few months ago.
You didn't know Robbie?
No. And I feel like this is such a vibe spot. So let's get into this with Rachel, because this is the question we ask all of our guests. And I'm so excited to get into this with Rachel because I feel like I know Rachel very well, but I might learn something
but
new.
But you know, people just surprise you. And this is something about people, is that they surprise you. Mm-hmm. That's rule number
60-20.
Hindsight
rule number
60-20
of culture. Mm-hmm. People
will surprise you. Now, Rachel, we're going to ask you the same question. What were the cultural pieces, the elements that made you say, culture is for me, I want to step in a cultural direction?
You know, mm-hmm. it's as if the culture was the rain. Mm-hmm. This would be the moment where the rain condensated.
That's not what rain does.
And then precipitated.
Well, rain is... Okay, there you go.
I'm talking about... First, the you have, cycle, of course, the water cycle. Ejaculation, mm-hmm. which is when the water comes from the ground to the sky.
The ejaculation is the water. The ejaculation is the water comes from the penis.
Yes.
Goes up into space.
Yeah. Ejaculation, condensation, precipitation.
Yes.
Runoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Runoff is pre-cum.
Rinse, repeat.
And then it's shampoo.
But the pre-cum is a state jump. It's like, what's it called? You know, it's not very common.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
My question is, when did culture start coming on you?
Oh my God. I'll never forget when I first got came on. Come down.
By culture.
Okay. I really thought a lot about this.
Thank God.
Because...
There can be more than one answer.
Billy Domino, who was like the goal four.
Well, that's him.
I was like, that is really the ultimate answer. I guess I became interested in culture. It was the 2016 election. That was it for me.
That was it.
Okay. I think that
And that's when you first started singing.
That's when I started singing. Was after the 2016 election. I was like, everything has changed. And then I was like, everything has changed. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm a singer now.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that for me, my introduction to culture. Mm-hmm. Was musical theater.
Yeah.
60s rock.
Yeah, wow.
And Monty Python.
Mm.
Was like, I'm disgusted because...
It's crazy that Bowen has tried to eat his McDonald's off the mic and somehow you can still hear him chewing.
Oh my God.
Bowen is straight up masticating a full chicken nugget.
Mm.
Can I say, though, that was the first chicken nugget I've had in a long time, and it was better than I remember chicken
They're
nuggets
great.
Being. Did they, like, change the recipe?
It's still pink paste.
Shouldn't have had it, because now they got you back.
I know. It felt, like, crispier.
It's crispier. The batter is better.
Let me tell you something. I'm a full whore for McDonald's.
Okay.
I will give my whole body to
Your
them.
Whole.
They have me. And you know what? It's okay. That's okay. I'm like a proud hooker.
Okay.
For them.
I remember
I'm
going.
I'm like, you know what? Call me passion. because that's my hooker name when I walk into McDonald's.
We went to a McDonald's.
Yes, we did.
Very wasted. And got McFlurries.
Yeah, when was that?
Where was this?
It was...
Were we traveling?
No, it was in New York.
Because now I don't remember the circumstances at all, but it was funny.
Okay, here's what I'm having a memory of, is it was really late and we were in Times Square.
You know what? I'll tell you when it was. We were so, so fucked up at the Story Pirates benefit after party.
Oh, no.
Yes, this is what
are
it was.
Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah, we are. Okay. It was the after party.
It's not, yeah, adults drink.
We
adults
had done. Only. We had done... The benefit. Mm-hmm. We imbibed.
We imbibed. Yes, this, you're right. Then we were imbibed and then we went.
We very embarrassingly exited a party.
Yes. You you flipped the deuce?
It was the situation where you don't know how to say goodbye.
Oh no.
So what we did is me and Rachel just stood there and everyone was looking at us in the room and I just
threw up the deuce like it was 11th grade.
Like I was Richard Nixon, and we backed out of there.
We backed out. It was,
and then, we went to McDonald's.
And we went to McDonald's, and it took forever for some reason. And then you laid down on the counter.
What?
Which I remember because I took a picture.
Oh my God.
That's vile.
And
what can I say? I feel so at home there.
Your passion.
Yeah, well, you walked in and everyone was like, ah, Maddie, welcome home.
Imagine if they knew my name. Imagine.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm so sorry. That was so rude of me.
You picked my big moment to just,
oh, my God. Okay, so...
Chomp down on a chicken nugget. But it's okay.
Okay, musical theater, 60s rock.
Okay, musical theater, 60s rock, like Joni Mitchell, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Yes.
And...
Okay, let her finish.
And that was me, like, 9 years old. Like, this song's about an abortion. Or, like, this song's about her, like, her baby that she had to give up.
Yeah.
And then... I think as I got older, like sci-fi.
Yes.
And like.
You're a fantasy queen.
I'm a fantasy queen and I didn't know it until I was older.
Yeah.
But I feel like that changed for me
too.
Favorite franchise?
What pieces?
Like, oh God, my favorite piece is probably.
A Dom piece.
Doctor Who in D minor. like I love Doctor Who so much and I didn't know until like 2 years ago. I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I don't think I'm like high fantasy.
You are.
But
trash
I'm like,
fantasy.
I'm like trash fantasy.
No,
pop,
those aren't trash
pop fantasy.
Pop fantasy. Sure, let's call it that.
Like I love the things that are like. I don't want to like undermine how much I love fantasy, but like I like the things that are like safe to like
that are like written that are meant for mass consumption.
I like love Harry Potter, but like I couldn't get through Lord of the Rings because I was like there are too many names.
I just realized why I haven't seen you lately, because you've been too busy with your scandal.
I finished
your brand has been scandal.
My brand has been scandal. Okay, but that is so. I guess
you
for
gag
me,
for it.
Scandal is a form of
culture has become like I just fucking love television.
Yeah,
that's great.
And I watch it so much.
Well, this is the beautiful thing about culture in general. But I think Rachel really embraces this: is that you can have these cultural phases where you redefine your parameters for culture. And for Rachel, it's watching Shonda. Now, is it specifically Scandal or is it Shondaland?
I did cross over. I didn't know the magic of Scandal the magic of Shonda until a few months ago. Uh-huh. I watched all six seasons of Scandal that were on Netflix in like 2 months.
Oh my God.
Like
so
it was
you
constant.
Fully like immersed yourself in that world.
I did. And then it was over and like the current season was on and I started watching the current season, which was fun because then I became a part of like the like Shonda community.
Twitter's crazy for Scandal.
Yes. And then I was like, I need more. And then I watched all of How to Get Away with Murder.
All of it?
There's only
two seasons, right?
Three seasons.
Okay.
And I watched it not knowing that the fourth season hadn't been announced. And then when it was done, like, even though I had literally just finished it, like, the day before, I immediately became, like, one of the fans that's like, when? When will they tell us?
Do you like it? Do you actually
I think
How
it's
to Get
amazing.
Away with Murder? Really?
Okay, yes. Why?
Well, I think that Viola Davis is a better actress than, like, that show deserves. Mm-hmm, like, that's, sure. I think the show is really great, but, like, she is phenomenal.
Unreal.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Yep.
So good. Always. And she's like giving she's truly giving like 200% and the show is like always giving 90%, which I like love.
90 is pretty great though.
Yeah, well, the show's like really intense. It's, and I think that, did you guys watch Scandal?
I watched Scandal
all the way through the first season five seasons.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like,
I can't believe that Melly Grant is president.
It's fucked. I will say crazy.
That it's insane to me that not one, well, this is a spoiler. Are you guys planning on watching?
No, I did. Does Fitz die?
I am going. No. House of Cards. God. I'm talking about.
Oh, no. I've never seen House of Cards.
I hear it's
okay.
Bad.
You know what? I'm just gonna go ahead and say spoiler alert. Are you okay,
Joe? Producer Joe.
Oh, it's the end of the season. So I'm just gonna say.
Okay. Matt.
I will not spoil
without spoilers.
It. I will not spoil it. I will just say they need to get more imaginative. Okay. About the ways that they go. I think there's nothing wrong with introducing a new character that's a compelling new political figure, but it seems like the way that these shows, I don't know, that's the problem with me with political shows, is it's like, you know, every 4 or 8 years, the people have to
change.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this unwillingness to be realistic about that is like show killing for me.
I know.
Like,
and that's what happened with Scandal, where they were like, well, we need to find a way to keep these people like in or near the White House. And it just got so convoluted.
And then you remember that like this is a show where a president choked out a Supreme Court justice and killed her. And then you're like,
she fucking
okay.
deserved it, though.
I actually fully understood why he did what he did. This is like old Scandal tea now.
Yeah.
But yeah, fucking Fitz.
Everyone on that show has killed someone. And then there's like a part where Olivia Washington starts like laughing hysterically, like laugh crying. I think it's her character. And then she's
Olivia Washington,
Kerry Washington, Olivia Pope. Mm-hmm. She starts laugh crying and she's like, everyone has killed someone.
Yeah,
like,
I remember this.
You're like, yeah, bitch, you get it.
Has she killed?
Yeah. Oh, you need to watch the current season.
Oh my God.
Oh wow, she murders somebody.
Just you have to watch.
Now,
I just don't know if I will because it's so far off the ground. Like the fact that Melly is president. I heard what happened to Portia de Rossi though.
Crazy.
Insane.
Crazy.
She gets beat to death.
Oh no.
With a golf club.
Come on, Shand.
But like, okay, here's the thing. That season was bad, but what the show did, and that it was like so obvious but kind of great, was like at the end of the season, they slowly like killed off or got rid of all of the extraneous characters that they had written in and got everybody back on the same side, like ready to fight together against like one evil. And as like, if you're like a fan of the show and you just like want it to succeed and you're not just looking for like insane drama, you're like, oh good, we're like back to basics. I think that was smart.
I think it's smart for a show like Scandal, which started heightened. When it's House of Cards, which I think is... To be honest with you, I was a real fan of House of Cards for a long time. I think House of Cards is cartoon garbage now. I think it's fully bad. That show literally just gets rid of anyone that's gonna like, and it's such a cop out
to like
it's
fuck like, up the plot.
Yeah. Everyone that could fuck it up for them is fucking dead. Like it's crazy to me. I'm like, I read an interview with like the new creators because they switched showrunners.
Right.
And they were like, don't you think this is a problem? And they're like, yeah, we did think about that.
And that was
the only answer that they gave.
Do you think it's worth starting? Like, if I have never seen a single episode.
I think that the first four seasons are really good. I think some seasons are better than others. I think the first season's great. The second season I loved because it was when they first stepped into this heightened direction they were going in.
Didn't start heightened though.
It certainly did not. And I would say you know the show is really different and you know how you know it has new creators, I think, or new showrunners. She is talking a lot more.
Oh,
like they always
Robin?
Used to they always used to trust her character to be strong and silent and say a lot without saying anything, and she was always very mysterious, whereas now she ain't mysterious at all.
She won't shut up. She's doing monologues.
No, she is really, I think, the lead of the show at some points, and also like fully like, I mean, I loved the question of are they evil or are they not? Like, I loved that. With him, you got it. With her, you kind of didn't. Now it's just like, no, they're evil. Yeah. They're both so evil.
Neither of us watched this.
Yeah, no, I've never seen it.
Oh, okay.
I weirdly was like, it's David and I have very different.
Does David like it?
Okay, so this is literally why I haven't watched it, is because David watched like a couple episodes, I think, of the first season like years ago when it first came out and was like, not for me. And I was like, for some reason, was just like, well, then it's not for me either. And just never watched it.
I think you would like
it. I've never done that with a show before where I just like took someone else's word and never watched it. But
I do that all the time.
See, I do that all the time.
I love to binge.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally made to binge. Like, yeah. I think you would like the show really a lot. I just think you'd get to a certain point where you'd be like,
I love political drama.
It's so weird to watch that shit now, though. It is.
I know. Well, and like that's why Scandal got so weird too, because like they had a Trump character and they had like it felt a little bit too like that like Law and Order like ripped from the headlines thing like just doesn't feel good when it's like not a procedural.
Well, there's like it's impossible now for political dramas because either you completely. There's this revisionist thing where Trump never happened and everything's
right,
normal.
Ignore it.
Or you rip it from the headlines and it just feels wrong.
I know. I've been watching The
or
West
feels
Wing,
behind at least, yeah.
And it's so weird because like the conversations on The West Wing like feel like so idealistic and so earnest and so different from like what's happening now, but they also feel so similar. Like because I'm in the season where he runs for re-election and they feel so similar to what's happening now that I'm like, oh, like it feels like we're in a crazy time, but also like nothing has changed and like all of these things are cyclical and TV like keeps repeating itself.
Interesting.
I think that the rise of like these kind of Washington thrillers and even comedies,
like
I think all of it is a little bit to blame for this. Because
because we like drama and twists.
Well, before you, let me just say, I just think we've gotten so used to like, I think people didn't even realize any of this shit was even possible. And you have to think about this. Like a lot of people watch Scandal, a lot. And when they hear about conspiracies and when they hear about stealing elections and the word rigged and like this and this and this, it gets into their mind. So then when it's brought up in a public way about what's going on in the real life, they don't say, no way. They say, well, you know, it can happen.
She rigged it. Yeah.
I don't think people thought this was possible.
Interesting.
And maybe I'm really talking about everyone in America like they're a lot dumber than they really are. But I definitely think popularization of like Washington backstabbing and kind of like Washington bullshit, popularization of that had something to do with everyone buying into fake news and like everything like that.
No, I think that's true. I mean, people like a good story.
Yeah.
Also, and like I think that Trump like went out and told a good story.
Yep.
He was like, people are evil and they're trying to get into our country. And like, he like was spinning a tale. He's really, I like to refer to him as the showrunner of the United States.
Absolutely.
Mm. He's I hate his show.
Yeah, I hate his show.
I fucking hate it. I hope it lasts less than one season.
Yeah, me too. I hope it gets canceled.
Well, as far as like the rig, as far as like the conspiracy stuff goes, I don't necessarily think it's like you, like the locus, the origin is these shows. I think it's just like Glenn Beck gave rise to like Alex Jones gave, and then Trump is in June of last year starts calling the election rigged. Like that's the path for me. But like maybe you're right. But like if that's true, then Shonda's to blame.
I'm not saying she's to blame. All I'm saying is it became fun. This kind of thing became fun, and then it became real, and we were all really surprised.
The drama is fun.
Yeah.
Right. Or even, like, the incompetency on Veep is fun. It's funny. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, it's, like, actually
But now
real.
It's like, oh, we really do have an incompetent administration. The point is, oh, my God.
Oh, my God, I hear something. Where are you hearing it?
That's so crazy. I'm hearing it kind of, like, under all of the chicken nuggets.
Wait, it's in Matt's mouth.
Is it coming from the chicken nuggets in your
No, it's in
body?
Matt's mouth. Oh my God, he can't speak. He can't even make a sound.
Oh my God.
From your body? Or?
Just open your mouth a tiny bit just to like.
He's pointing at his mouth right now. He looks really panicked. Okay, here we go.
Just
One, two, three.
Oh, he shut his mouth so hard. So. Wow.
Matt?
Podcasts
okay
really
I'm
are
okay.
a visual medium.
I had to get the gru out.
You had to get the gru out.
There was
out.
A lot of gru in my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah, so
But
anyway.
Yeah, I love Shonda Rhimes.
Have you watched Grey's Anatomy yet?
I've watched a lot of episodes of Grey's Anatomy, like
But disjointed, right?
But disjointedly. I've never liked
You should watch the first two seasons.
And then just stop.
Just stop.
Just stop.
I think I've seen I've probably seen most of the first two seasons.
Listen, are you going to watch Still Star Crossed?
Probably.
Probably.
Are you guys going to watch it?
One of my friends is on it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Ebony.
Yeah, I'm just Noelle. Down for any. I'm
she
down
plays,
for any of it.
One of the cousins.
That's amazing.
Apparently, she has like a pretty large, good part. I read in a review that she was one of the standout roles.
Ooh,
that's the dream.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, literally, that's the dream to get a good role on a Shonda Rhimes produced show that's about something cool.
Yeah,
that's my dream. I think is like I want to be on a Shonda Rhimes like drama, but I want to play the like kooky tech person.
You want to be like Quinn.
Yes.
Like what Quinn started out as being.
Well, I feel like Abby kind of started out as like the one who, they both did, where they were like, we're a little sarcastic. And then they both became like drama.
Yeah. I liked Abby on the show a lot. Darby Stanchfield.
I like her too.
That's a great name.
I think she's really good.
Did you know that Melly on that show was only supposed to be like the first couple episodes? Like the first lady was not going to be a thing. And then she just kept kind of like killing it in the back.
Wait, and they how are they going to do that? They were going to like get rid of her character?
No, she was just going to be the first lady. Was just not going to be a thing.
Oh, not like okay.
It was like it was going to be
but
like
how though? Because
she
Olivia's
yeah, she
Olivia's
wasn't
going
to be like
a
loyal to Olivia.
It just wasn't supposed to be as big of a thing as it is, and it certainly wasn't going to turn into what it is now, which is she's the president of the United States.
Yeah. I think she's great.
She's so good.
Her.
Yeah, she really sinks her teeth into it and like gives you soap.
What's that actress's name?
Bellamy Young.
That's a great fucking name.
She gives you soap realness. Mm-hmm. And also I found out she comes from the stage. She comes from the New York stage.
They don't come from the stage that often.
No.
Yeah.
She jumped right off the New York stage. She was in a show called The Life in the 90s, which was about hooking in Times Square.
Oh, you know.
In the old days.
That's crazy because where I come from is hooking in Times Square.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rachel is
pre-Giuliani fish.
Yeah.
Rachel is classically a hoe.
Category is
pre-Giuliani
eleganza.
Pre-The Lion King on Broadway.
Yeah.
Her windows aren't broken.
No. She's giving you spectaculars.
This past year, I was crowned in a pretty major national contest, Midtown's Most Wretched Whore.
Rachel's claim to fame is in the amazing pageant of Midtown's Most Wretched Whore. Now, mm-hmm. Rachel, what does your coronation entail? What are your sort of services that you're providing for the community?
Well, I walk around Midtown. Mm-hmm. that's pretty much it. I like walk around.
You buy some iPads.
I buy iPads at those like electronic stores. Yep. I go to Pret a Manger. Mm-hmm.
Shake hands.
I shake hands.
I trip on
the steps to TKTS.
Sit on the steps.
Have I told you about the day that I barfed in two Pret a Mangers?
Oh no. And I want to hear about this now.
Oh my God. It was wild.
When was this?
It was this year.
What?
Or it was 2016. It was after
the low.
Why did you barf? Because you ate something.
It was after
you were
the election, though.
But still the low point of 2016.
Yeah.
For you.
I was sick, and I was like, I have to get better fast. So I went, and I never do this. I went to the doctor and was like, I'm sick. I never do that because I'm a woman, and only men do that. Only men go to the doctor to be like,
interesting,
I'm sick.
Interesting, mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm going to say that right here. Okay. Only men go to doctors.
Rule number.
That's crazy. I feel like that's the opposite.
Rule number 15.
Only men go to the doctors. But I don't agree with that.
I think that only men go to doctors with like a cold.
Interesting.
More straight men I know are like, nah, I'm not going to the doctor. I'm going to tough it out.
Oh my God. David always goes to the doctor.
David.
Women be like.
He also gets sinus infections. So, you know, that's.
He still gets sinus infections as bad as he always did?
He still.
Oh, David's a little. I love him.
He's a little boy.
Okay, so you're.
Okay, so wait. I went to the doctor and I never do this. And I was like, I'm sick and I have to get better. And because I was like, I was working on Monday and I was like, I have to be better for this job or whatever. And I got like a Z-Pak. Mm-hmm. And it turns out they said it's not an allergy, but that I had a quote adverse effect.
Oh no.
And so what happened was I took my Z-Pak, and then which is an antibiotic, and then I had this important meeting.
Oh.
Like it was literally like I was meeting with an agent, with an agency.
Wow.
And I got up to Midtown and then I was like suddenly felt the most sick I've ever felt in my life and was like, I sat down on a bench in Midtown and I called my mom and I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to get home. Oh, like, no. I felt literally like I couldn't get myself to my apartment.
Oh, my God.
But I went into this meeting and I fucking, like, didn't speak, like, stood as still as possible. Oh, wait. I forgot about the first part of manger. So, So on my way into this meeting,
first barf.
I stop at a pret a manger and I go into the bathroom and I barf.
Oh my God.
Horribly. And then I go to this meeting and I sit as still as possible and I don't talk and I just get, I just like nod and I say yes. And I look all around the room and I make sure I know where all the trash cans are for when I barf. And then they show me out of their like fancy office and then I'm like, could you show me where the bathroom is? And they're like, it's right down the hall. I'm like, great. Thanks for meeting. And then I go to the bathroom and it wasn't barf.
You pooped.
It was like
you pooped to God.
I pooped to God. I destroyed the bathroom.
Oh my God.
Like, I think they probably knocked it down like they did your apartment in Stuytown.
And then, right, but then it turned out that that building was a pret-a-manger.
Well, okay. So then after my horrible liquid shit.
Oh God.
Yeah. I take the elevator down like 110 floors or whatever. Yeah, and then I got 110 out floors. And I walk out. I'm like, I guess I'm feeling a little bit better. And I walk out of the building and then immediately start to feel sick again.
Is
and
the
I,
air? No.
I have no idea, but I look and what is right next to their building, but a different pret-a-manger.
Of course.
And so I run into that pret-a-manger and I throw up again.
Thank God. Not all of them have bathrooms. Thank God these both had one.
Honestly, if this one hadn't had a bathroom, I still would have barfed in it.
Love it.
Is it that you can't take a Z-Pack?
I can't ever. Well, I'm allergic to it.
I guess you've learned this now. This is okay. And I was just talking to a coworker about this who was telling me how she, and this is tragic. She threw up in her Lyft because not because she was drunk, but because she got food poisoning and it just, she did not see it coming. It just happened. And I feel so bad. And she had to pay the cleaning
and
fee.
And she had to pay so much.
$150.
I threw up in a cab once.
Horrible, horrible, horrible.
I've never thrown up.
But here's the thing, guys. These stories about either shitting your pants, shitting in public, throwing up in public, like these reveal who you are. It's like Michelle Obama says the presidency reveals who you are. Pants shitting and vomiting stories in public reveal who you are and you're most vulnerable.
It's so true.
I'm not kidding. I sharted today. I'm not kidding.
Where?
Today?
I'm not kidding. We have to take a break. You working on Forever Ductress, hey?
That literally, that was as incoherent you think, as the cake farts woman. That was like, let us see how we do it.
All right, let's get this done. You're working at Reductress. You're doing editing.
I edit articles. I write articles.
She's an editrix.
You perform, bitch.
I perform articles. Yeah, that's why I work.
How you liking?
How you liking?
I love Reductress.
Okay, here's the thing.
And this they provide a good service.
Mm-hmm. They provide a beautiful service to women across the globe.
This is the antithesis. I feel like mouth time is sometimes like antithetical to what we do at Lost Culturistas because they write it, it's great, and then like people come on with character bits and it's fantastic. We just fucking run our mouths here with no structure.
Yes.
Don't shit talk us.
Somehow
I like what we do fucking better.
Somehow it works.
Fuck them.
Okay.
They can write down all the shit that they want. I'm gonna run my goddamn mouth and do just as well.
Rachel, would you rather? I mean, there's places.
Not about would you rather.
There's room for spontaneity, of course, in mouth time.
No.
You would no.
Yes, there is room for spontaneity.
The thing about women is they think too much.
Okay.
They write shit down, they think too much.
There's,
oh my God.
I'm a man of some. The way I do it, I sit down, I just start talking.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I just start talking.
I feel sick to my stomach watching you do this character.
Throw up my McNugget.
The people come.
Ew, ew.
The people come.
Tell us.
Hot producer Joe loves it.
I'm disgusted.
Tell us. Okay, so Rachel voices Dakota.
Yes. Mouth Time is the Reductress podcast official sponsor.
Yes.
And
so tell us a little bit about Dakota. Where would she shart? Where would she throw up in New York?
Okay. Well, Dakota lives in Times Square.
That's right.
She lives in Times Square. There are certain things about... So, yeah, Mouth Time is like half scripted and I'm the third host to have come on, to have like come into this world. It was Anna Dresden and Nicole Silverberg, who started it, who are brilliant. And then they're fine. And then Anna went off to write for Saturday Night Live. And then I came in
to co-host with Nicole.
And then Nicole left to write for a TV show. And then Bowen came in and co-hosted for a bit.
For one, but then I was like, you know what? It's a women's.
It was fun. It's for women. No.
It's for women. No, I mean, well, in a way, I was like, I'm not going to take this spot over, like, one of the millions of other, like, great, 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 like, comedy women out there. So then now you
there
guys
are
have
millions of
so
us. There are millions. No, you were so great. But yeah, it is funny how, like, it definitely, it's parodying the, like, Cosmopolitan podcast.
But then there are people in your reviews who just don't get that it's a parody.
Yeah, we have a lot of, it's so weird. Because, like, on the show, I do a character that like talks like this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's like, it's actually gotten a little better over time, but like in the beginning she had like a lot of vocal fry. Yeah, and was very like, welcome to the hangout. Uh-huh. And like people left us so many iTunes reviews when I started that were like, I can't, the vocal fry, I wanted to kill myself.
Okay.
And they didn't get that it was satire. And I was also like, you hate listening to women.
That's what it is. I was gonna say that is the root of all of this. That's the kernel.
Also, our ads were being run, or like the ads for our podcast were being run during like a podcast that was like a most perfect murder, like something that just like was not, there was no crossover between the fan bases, and they were so frustrated.
Was this now you guys are under Feral, but then before you guys were with another network.
Yes.
This was
with Feral though. Been with Feral pretty much since I started, and and I mean they're amazing. It was just like, and we changed our like advertisements a little bit to make it more clear that it was a joke.
Right.
But yeah, people don't like listening to women. We've made it a thing though now.
Right. Okay.
We did a really, really fun episode when we were in LA that we did live with Paul F. Tompkins.
The Paul.
And who was so amazing, and I keep accidentally calling him Paul Thomas Anderson, who I love. But we like made a point. We like took a break and we like talked to the audience and we were like, we're like, you guys should definitely like, don't forget, rate and subscribe. And don't forget to talk about how much you love our podcast, how much you love our voices and how good our voices are and how good we sound and how nice this is to listen to. And we like suddenly got a slew of reviews that were like, I love Mouth Time, especially their voices.
They did that for us at Culture Resist too. We just asked them to write reviews and they were like, I'm writing a review because they told me to.
LOL.
Yeah.
Fans are so fun. But yeah, the Mouth Time podcast is really fun. It's like half scripted.
Right. It's half scripted. Yeah. I'm sorry. But I feel like that's a little bit of a challenge.
Wait,
for me.
When you say like it's changed, does that mean you've laid off the voice?
I've laid off the voice a little bit to make it like a little bit more palatable. And also like, I think it's like funnier. I think it's funnier if the vocal fry is like at specific moments.
Yes. Okay, sure. But that's so, I mean,
as like a punctuation.
I get that. And like, you're doing that like because it's like, It does make it more palatable, but yeah, I mean, that God, that's so shitty that people are just like, these women sound stupid.
Yeah, they're like these baby women, because like Nicole and I both do voices that are kind of like, oh, right, like we're like dumb idiots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the premise of the whole show is that we're like dumb idiots.
Dumb idiots, 100%.
But I love being a dumb idiot. So like I would never pull back on that.
The funnest.
Absolute funnest. Being a dumb idiot is the funnest.
And our brand is, of course,
genius culture roast.
Sometimes I'm intimidated by your culturista
knowledge.
Right.
See, but then you have to know, like, there are some things that I have literally no barometer for. Like, for example, I just started watching The Bachelorette today. Never seen an episode.
I haven't seen it either.
But I'm pretty gagged for it. And I'm a little bit like I came, like Henry came home today and I was watching it and he's like, are you watching this? And I'm like, yeah. And can I tell you something? I'm getting my life. I'm actually getting my life in a real way.
I watched the first episode of this season of The Bachelorette and it was the first episode I've ever watched. And I was like, oh, I get it.
It's entertaining.
I watched it with Anna Dresden, and when the dog came out, we both cheered.
Copper.
We both cheered for so long that it was like, it became uncomfortable.
It's the cutest fucking dog.
It's so cute. Copper. And I didn't know. It was like, we both kind of had this moment of like, if we knew there were dogs on this show, we would have started watching it years ago. The dog has a cast.
I hope the dog's had the cast for a while.
To me, it's like you have to explain why the dog was the
maybe
cast.
The dog
because
got
they've
a
never
tattoo?
Said anything. Like when she revealed to the one guy that she was bringing the dog on the date. He was like, why does it have a cast? And she goes, we'll get to that later. Let's get on the plane. I was like, no, I have this question too. What happened to the dog? But she said it like a segue, like, I guess there's maybe more to tell about that when we get in the plane.
Yeah, she was like, we'll get into that later.
And I was like, no. And then you get on the plane and she doesn't say a word about why the dog is injured.
She's clickbaiting her dog.
I just like really wanted to know, like, what's wrong with the dog? The dog looks like it has carpal tunnel.
Dog.
Her dog is her
canine
assistant
carpal tunnel.
And got carpal tunnel from like emails.
Her dog's
Wait,
been
do
holding
you guys
a lot of venti.
Watch reality TV though? Because I don't watch any.
No. RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, you yeah.
How can you say no?
People. Well, besides Drag Race, and like the Bachelorette is like this.
The number one show that we watch is a reality television
is
show.
Drag
so
Race.
Yes, we watch okay, reality. Yes. We definitely don't count it as one because we count it as something else. I think.
But I wouldn't say yeah. watch reality TV because even me like venturing into the Bachelorette territory now is very new for me. It's been a long time coming.
I yeah. think you watch reality TV and you need to
and
admit
you
it to yourself.
I fucking love it. Okay. I think there's
and
also
you love
something
it and you're obsessed with it.
RuPaul, okay. also Junk. Drag Race feel
garbage.
Vonk. Okay. Vonk. Drag Race feels to me like the only reality show I've ever gotten into was
yes.
Dance Moms.
Uh-huh.
And a show Tanked, which we can talk about later. But the thing about Dance Moms is that everyone has a skill. Like
right.
it was fun to watch because all even though it was about the moms, all the kids had these. They were so talented. And they it's, all had a skill, and yeah. I feel like Drag Race is the same thing. Where like watching a show where everyone is really talented at something is different than watching a show where like everyone's put into a house and like
yes,
they
and, like,
live.
Drama happens because
yeah.
someone else tells them that there's drama happening.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like everyone on Drag Race is so talented in their own right, and like
right.
they're all I don't know. Competition shows like that are
I like
different.
Competition shows.
Having watched Unreal,
oh my god,
I do watch the kind of. You've seen Unreal.
The first season.
Yeah, the first season. So you, yeah, crazy. 100%. So like having watched that though, and then watching this drama just like unfold, it does change it for me because it's like, you know what happened is they got these people so fucking drunk.
Yes.
And like, cause you can look in their eyes and also they're always sweating mm-hmm. so
yes,
much.
Yes, they're shiny.
Something I've noticed a lot is like, they don't even try to blot these people. Like they're just sweating
wow.
because they truly have to catch them saying things in the moment because that's something about The Bachelor, which I will say is different, is like they really are like shooting that on the spot, like as it's happened. Like you can tell there's like six cameras at a time, like all trying to get different shots or whatever. It's really like they're trying to create authentic drama
mm-hmm.
based on manipulation at all times. So they're not really concerned about how people look on camera because they look drunk
yes.
and they look bad.
They're
a
sweaty.
Lot of them look like a lot in the confessionals. They'll be half a fucking sleep.
Their eyelids are like halfway down.
Like this guy Lee, who we're finding out is like a racist tweeter.
Oh yeah,
he's
the country
always
star.
The country singer. Yeah, the other guy who came out and was singing country. He always looks so tanked on the show, and I'm like, you're trying to get this person to embarrass himself.
Yeah.
But it sucks.
TV is so crazy.
It's crazy. I mean, the thing is, though, like you have to admit, like we love RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean, even RuPaul admits he's on record as saying we produced the fuck out of that show.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah,
the best reality show is
Tanked.
What is it
about?
Okay, Tanked is on. Oh god,
is it about scuba divers?
If
is
only.
It about people who clean fish tanks?
Okay,
about
it
people
is,
who wear tank tops.
It's about tank tops. It's I want to say it's on Animal Planet. But maybe Discovery Channel. It's like on a network that it shouldn't be on. But it's about these luxury fish tank designers.
Oh,
my God. I was almost there.
Las Vegas.
Okay, I'm on board.
And they are like, according to the show, they're like the guys that when like the Magic Castle in LA is like, we want a fish tank and we want like Harry Houdini upside down like submerged in this fish tank and like we want you to design it, like these are the guys that do it and they're really talented and the fish tanks are really amazing, but it's the best show because the drama is so contrived and so stupid uh-huh. and it's always like I don't know how we're gonna get this fish tank through this door.
I love that though.
I would watch that.
Yeah, it's so good.
And in the moment, that shit is tense.
Yes, you're like, how are they gonna get it through
you
the
don't
door?
Know.
You're like, it's a fucking like 40-foot
glass
fish tank.
Yeah.
It's made of glass. It has a fucking shark in it. Like, how are they gonna get it?
I love when people take shit seriously that no one else does.
Yes.
Like, to me, that's so funny.
That's what this is.
They could sit down and, like, in a circle, like, and it's like a reunion special, and they really come for each other based on, like, fish tank design.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my
life.
They're
like, this is what the client wants, but if we put this much water in it, the whole thing's going to blow. It's so dramatic.
Is Little Chocolatiers literally about little people who are chocolateers?
I've never heard of this show, but I fucking hope so.
Is that what it is? Because I think that's what it is.
Okay.
And that is so specific.
Little Chocolatiers.
Have you guys heard of this show, this movie, Tiptoes?
No.
Okay, wow. Okay, you've heard of
this.
Hot producer Joe has heard of it.
Don't call him hot. You're married.
You're right. A girlfriend.
What are you doing?
I'm so embarrassed.
You're a fucking monster.
I'm so embarrassed. If I was a gay man, I could objectify
anyone.
That's absolutely right. We've earned it. And this is Pride Month, and don't make a fucking joke.
How dare you?
No, you're right. As a straight woman, I need to just shut the fuck up.
You do.
Okay, so
thank
Tiptoes.
God someone said it. Someone said
Pride
it.
Pride Month is the month that women have to shut
Pride
up.
Month.
I have
straight
to hold
women,
my tongue on
women.
Facebook all the time.
Honestly? Okay.
Sometimes I do when a comment on people's Facebook status is like, have you considered just shutting
up? Not
talking
up. Yeah.
Just shutting the fuck up.
That's an option.
Okay. I don't want to dwell on this because it's boring, but Beth Newell, one of the founders, editor of Reductress today, was like, there was this movie in 2003 that never got released because it was so insane. And it's where it's Matthew McConaughey and Gary Oldman plays a little person.
Gary Oldman?
Yes. Yes. And we watched this trailer from 2003 that never got released. And it is the fucking craziest thing I've ever seen. It's like a Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, except the whole premise is that Matthew McConaughey is dating Kate Beckinsale. And she doesn't know that his brother is a little person.
Oh my
and
God.
And when she meets him, it's like, why didn't you tell me? and then it's like this crazy movie, I guess, where like it's like meet the parents, except they're all little people. And so it's like, can you believe it? And like the mom, Matthew McConaughey's mom, like in the trailer, sees Matthew McConaughey's dad for the first time, who's a little person, and like her face falls. Like he's Hitler.
Oh,
and then at the end, the song that plays is
"Why can't I breathe whenever I think about you? Why can't I sleep whenever I talk about you?"
2003.
We said, "Why can't I sleep whenever I talk about you?" Maybe
I feel
did.
Like maybe those are the lyrics.
Why can't I speak?
I literally said the same thing as you, so it goes to show that either she's not pronouncing it correctly. Or we're right.
It's one of those two.
Sure. Liz Phair.
I'm going to go ahead and
because it's Pride Month. Because
it's Pride
Month and we can't be wrong.
We can't be wrong. And Liz Phair is not an ally.
Nope.
Guys, okay. We've said some general shit about allyship. Guys, allyship is whatever you want it to be, baby. That's what I think.
God, I'm so sick.
All I know is that I'm not a fucking ally.
I'm not a fucking ally, but I am an ally to Midtown's most wretched whore,
yes!
Rachel Lanitsky.
Yes. When will we see the birth of Midtown the Musical? Because you keep fucking talking about it. And now I'm just like, shit or get off the pot.
The three of us, we're supposed to all write this together.
I know. The thing, we need to get in a room and write Midtown the Musical. I bet we could write it in 20 minutes.
We need to rent one of those rooms.
No, what is that?
What is those rooms?
A retreat?
No, one of those.
Oh, a breather?
A breather. We need to get a breather.
We need to get a breather. And we need to write Midtown the Musical.
I thought about getting a breather for myself the other day, and then I was like, oh, I'm literally poor.
They're so expensive.
They're expensive.
Like $40
for real
an hour.
We had this moment yesterday in rehearsal, Matt. David was talking about seeing J-Lo in Vegas, and so then I was just like, wait a minute, can we write a show where Papoulette like has a Vegas residency and like something goes wrong?
Funny.
Like maybe we're doing a Vegas show and like there's like a fucking heist going on or something.
It should be that like Celine Dion stole all our costumes. And it should be called
Glitter.
Money.
Gay, naked money.
When will Papoulette
retweet?
When will we retweet? When will we reband and do something?
I don't know.
Everyone's busy,
aren't
they?
We're all so busy. Everyone in Papoulette is famous now.
That's true.
That's so.
We all are so famous.
Rachel is a CBS
queen.
I'm the queen of CBS.
I am the queen of iTunes?
Yeah. High Maintenance?
High Maintenance.
Are you allowed to talk about it?
I'm allowed to talk about it. I'm not allowed to talk about what?
The script.
The script. Honest. Oh, my God. This is something I think I can talk about. For the High Maintenance auditions, both times I went in for different things, like, the guy was written as someone else, and I went in, like, the first time I went in, I was like, is Mark the guy? And they were like, we can't tell you. And I was like what? Very clearly, he's, like, selling this person weed. Anyway. So it's very, I mean, they keep things very close to the vest at HBO.
Wow.
So at
CBS, they tell you everything.
They were like,
and they say, share this with your friends. Like
Christine
and family.
Baranski's they cries say, at the election.
Yeah. That was a reshoot.
That was a reshoot after the election.
Can you believe?
Oh, because you shot that like around November or October, right?
The Good Fight?
The Good Fight.
Was. I was in the
during
pilot.
The election.
I was in the pilot of The Good Fight, and they had started shooting right. They had started
yes,
shooting before me.
Right.
They had been shooting for like a week or two, and then they took a month to shoot the pilot.
Wow!
And I worked on it for 5 days, and I wrapped on
election
November
day.
8th. It was so crazy. It was like fucking Christine Baranski walking around wearing an "I voted" sticker. Like everyone was so excited. The mood was like, Hillary Clinton's going to be president. And like, we're making a TV show about like
women,
powerful women and like about a character that literally has a Hillary Clinton picture, like a framed photo of Hillary Clinton on her desk. And then the election happened and I never was back on that set, but I imagine it was crazy. And then I saw interviews with the Kings who write the show and they like rewrote the show going forward to like make it tailored more towards like
a
new world. And then the episode was called Inauguration, which it wasn't originally.
Oh my God.
And then they like had that scene with her crying at the
first
like
fucking scene, right? Yeah.
She says something like, well,
she's like, shit.
Well,
yeah, shit.
Yeah.
It's real. It's a great scene.
I think you were even telling me like, that like people aren't like the crew people were leaving because they were like, go vote. Like everyone. Was
yeah.
Just, like,
they started late that day so everyone could go vote. I'm sure every like production business did that because you have to legally let your people to vote. But it was so I honestly think everyone on that set was like, we're making a show that like is about a Hillary Clinton like type. And like Hillary Clinton's going to be president. And it's going to be such a big deal. But then I think the show kind of became even more important because
that's
it was
right.
like.
But even like Alicia Florrick, like Juliana Margulies' character was based on Hillary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So crazy.
What's up, Matt? Oh. What?
If I could go back, I wouldn't have voted for Harambe.
Okay.
I just wouldn't have voted for Harambe because I realize now that he couldn't have won.
You know what Rachel Maddow said on election night when the numbers were coming in.
That's when it hit me.
Mm-hmm.
If you vote for someone you know cannot be president, then you don't care who is president, especially if you wrote in
Harambe.
Magic Kingdom. I never realized that their whole section is called the Port of Harambe in the Africa section.
Wait, quickly go through.
Okay.
You just came back.
Yes.
Guys, quick update.
I can't believe we haven't talked about Disney or Universal.
From...
Because we're all such Disney Universal queens.
We are. And I hope
just
to
give
go.
A quick review of Pandora.
Okay, so Pandora itself is beautiful. It's a feat of engineering, the way that they build the floating islands. It's gorgeous as just a piece. But you can tell that the river journey was only made because they were like, well, shit, if we're going to justify this whole Avatar-themed land, we need a second ride, and it needs to like carry some spillover from people from Flight of Passage,
and have to be good for kids,
That's
so disappointing.
So it's just a river ride. It's like a lazy river ride with like all these glow in the dark plants. Blah 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 blah.
Visual effects are good.
They're fine. They're not.
You're
like,
saying it's not as good as Pirates.
It's like Pirates.
Like visually.
Visually, it's beautiful, but it's like a boring Pirates basically, and there's more boring than Pirates
because I love Pirates,
and there's no drops like that there are in Pirates, but then the big build up of this river journey is this, I will say, a gorgeous animatronic of some blue fucking Navi
the most
shaman.
The most advanced they've ever had, I heard.
Yes, like the lip movements sync up, and it's
like
the eyes blink, so it looks very real. But then Flight of Passage is great. I will say, maybe it's because I was wearing glasses below my 3D glasses.
Mm-hmm.
It was not as immersive as like as it could have been. And I don't normally yes. experience that with a lot of 3D rides, but it's a giant fucking screen. Basically, the way that they have it set up is you're mounting this, you know, banshee, and it's breathing under you. It's like you're on this, like, you know, plasticky, like, foamy thing that's, like,
Like a bike.
Like a breathing, a living, breathing bike.
And it's just, like, you're flying through Pandora, but, like, the rooms are set up where it's, like, the Simpsons ride, where it's, like, you're... Or not the Simpsons ride, but it's kind of like this where you're stacked on top of yourself.
So like people, the Simpsons ride, oh yes.
So people above us, it was just like a wall of fucking people, like 150 people facing this one giant convex screen and us being like flown through. And it was amazing. I mean, there were some amazing parts. It's great.
I just will never be fully gagged at a ride that's just a screen. That's why the Forbidden Journey to me is the best ride, because it like seamlessly takes you between like practical sets and screens.
Interesting.
It's amazing.
And then you get like the spiders. Like
yes. The Dementors.
The Dementors. Oh, they're so scary. I gag for the Dementors.
Every time.
Yeah.
Star Wars Land, I'm hearing tea that their big ride for that is going to be this Millennium Falcon journey. And it's just going to be screens.
I get what you're saying.
I don't like it. It gets dated so fast also. Like the stuff on the video on the screens after like a year, 2 years mm-hmm. looks already dated. Whereas Pirates is from the 70s and it still looks fucking cool.
Okay. And I will say this. I hadn't been to Animal Kingdom since like 99. So I was fucking gagged for Everest. Best yes. coaster in all of Disney. Amazing, amazing coaster. Oh my God, I got my fucking life. So we went on it 3 times. It was amazing.
Were there lines?
But it was a little bit rainy. The lines were all concentrated at Pandora. Everything else was like great, and we fast passed it brilliantly. Thank you, Michael Hartney, who orchestrated all this.
Bowen got to experience Felicia Rashad doing the pre-show at Dinosaur.
And she kills it.
Oh my God.
Even if she is a Bill Cosby apologist. Okay.
And then somebody said, was it you that said, it was Lou Gonzalez posted. He's like, I got my life hearing Felicia Rashad say the word dinosaur.
She's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, she's gorgeous, gorgeous creature of the stage and screen.
Wait, oh my God, I hear something. Oh my God.
Oh my God, where's that coming from?
I think it's coming... It's coming from this packet of barbecue sauce that's unopened.
Oh my God.
Should I open it?
I think you should open it.
Matt, I think you should open it.
I'm the guest, so.
Okay.
I'm going to open it really slowly.
She isn't frightened to open it.
I'm a woman. Ready?
Women don't go to the. Oh! Okay, let's move on.
I don't think so, honey.
Here we go. This is the moment for those of you who don't know.
Did you come prepared with an I don't think so, honey?
No.
Wow. Okay, we don't have one either.
So. Don't speak for me.
Okay.
I do have one.
So, Matt, you want to start?
Yes, I'll start. Now, I don't think so, honey is our moment in the show to take 1 minute to rail against something in culture that is driving us fucking nuts. Christ's sake. And so I have one, and I don't know really where it's going to go, but I know that I feel it in my heart.
Okay, here we go. This is Matt Rogers. I don't think so, honey. Time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. People at my restaurant who touch me to get my attention. Okay, so I'm a human being. I don't work for you. You're not allowed to touch me. Mm-hmm. When I'm talking to someone else and I feel anything on my body, and it's especially when it's someone pulling me or touching me with your cold ass hands or your crabby fingers, I shiver in my skin.
30 seconds.
Do not touch your servers. Don't touch them. I'm serious about this. I don't know what it is. Would you just touch someone on the street? Like, is it because I'm like in a subservient position to you that you're touching me?
15 seconds.
Don't touch me. And also, it's rude. What do you think? I'm going to turn around while I'm talking to someone else and then field your question? People really think that. When you go to a restaurant and you touch someone, you deserve a fate worse than death. You deserve to chill.
That's 1 minute and 5 seconds. You deserve to chill. A fate worse than death.
That was because of your pause.
Wow. You know what? We don't really know what that means. But I think we do know what that means.
I think you all felt it when I said
Absolutely. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I'm so sorry, Matt. But you know what? Maybe some people would liken that being tickled. And you're recently, after watching The Bachelor, you now.
I used to say I thought. No, I never said I thought it was fair game for people to just tickle people. I just said that, like, if you're with somebody and you know them and you give them a little tickle, like, they shouldn't get mad about it.
Of course they should.
To me, it's a showing of affection.
But not
when I tickle Bowen,
welcome.
I do it because I love him.
I don't like
it. And I tickle Henry,
tickled.
And he doesn't like it at all.
Okay.
You gotta be careful who you tickle.
You gotta be careful.
Would you like to be tickled?
I don't like to be tickled. I wouldn't be offended by it, but I'd be like,
no, I would be offended.
I'd be like, don't tickle me.
Violating my physical space. No, get your hand away. Stop it. Stop! No, stop. This fucking sucks. Okay.
A tickle-a-roo. Okay. That's me. I'm a tickle you.
I don't like that the family is fine.
The family.
I will tickle everyone.
No, the family.
Yes, I will.
This is a family.
I'll come over to you and I'll get you with my fingers.
Oh. A family that does not tickle together stays. Together. Here we go. Start me up.
Bowen Yang, I don't think so, honey. Time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Facebook stories? No one fucking uses you. Why are you at the very top of my screen every time I open the app, honey? No one's using it. And you know what's even worse is that you're faintly suggesting the possibility that my friends are using it in those grayed out circles, like as if like Matt or Rachel or pop producer Joe will have a story waiting for me when they don't. It's just a placeholder, honey. And placeholders do not belong in the actual executed app. They belong in a staging. They belong in a staging cell for the developers to test. They do not. Here's what placeholders are for. Designer comps, designer prototypes, and envision perhaps.
Oh, God.
Not on the final product, honey. 15. Do you have product designers, Facebook? I don't think so, honey. I don't think your product designers know what they're doing. Yeah, sure, you maybe pulled some people from the Instagram office, but they do not know how to do
Five.
Facebook well. So Facebook app, I don't fucking think so, honey. You suck. Why are you 200 megabytes? Goodbye.
That was 1 minute.
Wow.
Bowen Yang's, I don't think so, honey.
I can't believe Facebook costs 200 megabytes.
Isn't that insane? That's 20 photos.
Too much.
20 photos of my pets.
I don't have that many bites.
No, me neither.
I think that Facebook is going to be huge.
I think it's going to take off in the next like 2 to 4 years.
Yeah, I think it's going to be absolutely
huge. I think we're
going to
see people like talking about Facebook, going on Facebook.
What about MySpace? Now, this is Rachel's. I don't think so,
okay,
honey.
I didn't prepare.
I don't think that's going to continue to be successful on MySpace.
Okay, that's fair.
All right, Harambe.
Okay, so Rachel... Sometimes
bring that up. No,
sometimes literally inspiration hits you when I hit start. On
I know.
The
I'm nervous.
I'm just gonna talk.
We don't have time because Joe, who I respect as a gentleman
and a hot producer,
I'm not gonna say that. Okay. But he has to leave. So
why don't you want to say it? What's weird about it?
Well, I'm a married woman.
That why are you making it weird? This is making it weird.
I'm a married woman. I have a husband that I love very much.
And only gay.
And I'm straight.
And only cis gay men are allowed to
joke.
Objectify.
Okay.
Okay,
I'm gonna just go for something that is genuinely like I don't think so, honey. This week,
and it will grow. Okay.
It'll grow. I think. I don't know. We'll see.
This is the beauty of I don't think so, honey. See where it takes you.
Yeah.
You know, you've done it before.
I'll follow the journey.
Rachel Slade at our live show. Okay, this is Rachel Winitsky's I don't think so, honey. Time starts now.
Okay, I don't think so, honey. Rachel Maddow being sick for a fucking
week
and a half.
Thank you.
I really rely on Rachel like every single morning. The first thing I do is I put on her the podcast version of her show. Yeah. And that is how I welcome myself into the day. It's how I slowly integrate myself into my morning. I go on the F train, which is right now the worst of the trains. People got stuck on the F train for an hour the other night without AC, without lights. They were freaking out. I couldn't get home because of it. I missed an exercise class that I signed up for. All I want is to sit on the F train every morning and listen to Rachel Maddow and have her talk about the Russian collusion and really like make me feel at peace. I want her to soothe my soul. And she has been sick for a week and a half. She just came back this morning,
seconds.
But I don't want to listen to Joy Reid. I don't want to listen to that guy.
Ari.
His voice is so intense.
So
I like
boring.
Rachel because she tells it to me like it is, and she's my best friend, and she lays it
5 seconds
down. When she was absent, I stopped listening to her show.
And that's 1 minute. Honestly, 100% same. And Joy,
I stopped.
People love Joy Reid, and like she's great.
Joy.
She's good, and she's good.
I like
she's
her better
not,
than Ari, but
I like
she's
her
not
better than
Rachel.
Ari, but she's not excellent like Rachel. And even like Steve Kornacki used to fill in for Rachel every now and then, and he's like the most boring of white men.
Yes. Well, I know Joe, who I respect as a co-human, has to leave, but. The thing about Rachel Maddow is that she tells the news to you like she is your friend who is as pissed and as confused
incensed.
And incensed as you are. And it's so fun to listen to her because she's like, isn't this crazy? Whereas those two are, they're very talented, but they're so
wooden.
Practiced. They're so wooden. Yeah.
And it's and they're just reading off the prompter. Rachel, yeah. I can't tell if she's reading off the prompter.
I know.
Or if she's just talking off the cuff and telling and weaving this beautiful tale.
I think she's weaving a beautiful tale partially because on this morning that from last night, she's like, do we have this here? Do we have this? And then she's like, oh, it's on my prompter. It's not in my notes.
Right.
So that made me think that like she's not always looking at the prompter.
I do love the performative little highlight that she does when she takes her highlighter and underlines and something in the paper.
Yeah.
It's like,
I just love her so much.
Love her to death. Guys, I'm still, Rachel Winitsky and I are on the Matto train. I know Matt can listen to it if he wants to. We're going to encourage Matt.
You got to get down. You got to get into that.
I think I have to get into it because I don't know. I don't know. I guess it overwhelms me.
The news is really big right now.
But it just overwhelms me. And to be honest with you, sometimes.
But Rachel makes it work. Rachel connects, she does.
Sometimes I don't fully understand everything that's going on.
Well, then listen
to
Rachel.
I'll just bravely say that.
She's really good, though, because her A block, she'll take it all the way back, honey.
Yeah.
She tells you what you need to know. She's going to get you over that learning curve.
Honey, yeah. It just sometimes I feel like I'll feel very on top of things because I'll be listening every single day. And then I'll step away for a little while just for my own sanity. And then I'll come back and I'll be like, wait, what happened? That's kind of the thing that's happening now with the news.
She's breaking news though. You know, she really is. She's breaking news and you can watch her and not know what's going on because she is only dealing with like bombshell
stuff.
Reports.
Bombshell reports. Bombshell reports. Great drag name.
My drag name.
Rachel's drag name.
Every day I go into Reductress and I sit at my desk and I turn to the room and I say, I'm just waiting for bombshell reports. Because that's all I do.
Gorgeous. Quick announcement. My drag name, I have now realized after seeing Wonder Woman, is Annapurna Pictures.
Annapurna Pictures.
Okay. Guys, this has been a great episode of Las Culturistas. We have our Famiglee member, Rachel Winitsky, here with us.
Great movie, by the way, Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
good
great.
Good movie.
We'll do that in part two of my episode.
Thank God.
I'm so excited. I'm doing two episodes of Las Culturistas.
We're so excited you're doing the two-parter.
She'll be back in 2021.
Yep. There we go. Accurate.
It's crazy that I'll be president by then.
She'll be back in 4 years.
She's our...
4 more years.
Mm, 4 more years.
She's our Bellamy
Young. That's
what
the girl who ran for president of my high school...
Oh.
Her...
Slogan.
Her slogan was 4 more years.
Doesn't make sense.
It didn't make any sense
at all.
I've been Bowen
Four
Yang.
4 more years.
God bless her.
I've been Bowen Yang.
And I've been... Gorgeous. Wait, I'm sorry.
Oh my God,
I'm Matt Rogers. But wait, I have to tell you, I'm hearing something.
Yeah, wait, this is.
And
crazy.
I have to point it out because I feel like if I don't point it out, I will feel
angry.
I'll feel you know, like I didn't do my job today.
Okay, where is it coming from?
I think it's coming from Joe. I think it's coming from Joe's ass. I think it's coming from
Straight
Joe's ass.
Straight from his hole.
No, Joe, don't do this.
Joe, open up your ass.
Open up
there
your ass.
There it goes. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Bye. Forever. Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit foreverdogproductions.com.